Welcome to iHeart Geek.
And welcome to another supplemental episode of iHeart Geek, the Mandalorian episodes. Yeah, experience. That's what I'm going to call it, the Mandalorian experience.
I like it.
Does that work for everybody? Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
We are talking season 2, episode 2, with a very controversial episode of The Mandalorian. I don't know how controversial it is in this room, and I think a lot of people got flipped out over nothing, but we'll come back to that in a few minutes. Let me introduce the panel. I'm Dub, and I am responsible for this mess. Yell at me if it's bad. If it's good, it's all my co-panelists. They're the ones that make it better, so I appreciate that. So let's see. Who we got to do first? This time, you got introduced last time, so this time we want to talk Chris Giorgetti. How are you doing, bud?
I'm doing fantastic today. It's a beautiful day here in New Jersey.
Is it snowing over there?
It's 74 degrees.
What in the heck is the matter with you guys? It is freezing here. Right now I could walk out and I could not because I like shiver. It's in the 50s. That's cold for us.
Oh, bless. Oh,
and
bless.
It's raining. Oh, bless your heart. Did you go Southern on me on that one a little bit?
Bless your heart. Bless your, I know bless what your little that means. Las Vegas heart.
Mm-hmm. I know what that means. It's not very nice.
Like 41 degrees here, so.
Oh, yeah.
That's okay, Chris. Nothing.
And then we have Miss Christina. How are you doing? You know, I gave up giving you a nickname because we changed it every week. It's a thing.
I'm doing good. I'm doing good.
You're doing good? Why are you going? Why are you going on the East Coast all of a sudden?
I should be using like a Russian. I got a husky today.
Oh yes, I saw the picture. She got a puppy. Did you name it Baby Yoda?
No. So Nikki is Nikita Jade. So he is Nicholas Kane, and it's Nick and Nikki.
That's not going to be confusing at all.
Hey, it's multitasking. I call one, and they both
get them both. Outstanding. I wish you would have named it bad, like, you know, Puppy Blies, because he's got
Puppy Blies. Puppy dog look, you know. Well, if I can find a dog that has Baby Yoda ears, you got it.
Well, I know you, and you probably will. Right. We've been friends long enough. I know better. And then the other person on the screen, we have Miss Satomi. How are you doing today? What's new in your world?
I'm doing wonderfully. I feel like morally obligated to do this with an accent or something.
Boy,
it's
going to be a thing.
Just because,
awesome.
Well, she said she has husky now, so it's important to honor all of the Nikki and Nikolai that is now in your life.
Wow. I don't know. I just turned into Borat for a second there.
That was very nice.
Beautiful.
That was a little Natasha. That was a little American Gods.
Squirrel.
If you watched American Gods, it's a little bit of the accent of the Russian gods that they go and visit.
Well, if they are Russian,
if you've seen it, it's got a very similar.
My stepmother is Russian.
I remember when we had this conversation, first time we talked, you started doing accents. I'm like, we can just do this all day.
Yeah.
And here we are,
so
like,
fun.
We're like 6 months later, I'm still making you do it all the time. So
oh,
that's kind of fun.
Well, you know. Hey, you know what? It's all about playing in the sandbox. If you got a sandbox, I'm gonna go play in it.
Unfortunately, the cats like to jump in there too, so be careful.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. Beware the stinky pebbles.
Don't eat the yellow snow. Okay, oh, we're going on bad. Oh, really? That was worse than yours. Really? That's what we're going to throw out today.
Well, because one's more compartmentalized. Anyhow, Mandalorian.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
You know what? Actually, that brings up a question.
Fire away. Let's start it.
Baby Yoda, is he diapered or is he potty trained?
He's potty trained. I think he's potty trained.
I think he has to be because I don't see the Mandalorian changing anything.
I think that depends.
Speaking of Japan. Oh, that was so bad. Okay, go ahead.
Maybe he uses the force to make it go away.
But the
this
problem
is not the poop you're looking for.
He only uses the force accidentally, I think. We've only seen him use it once.
Yeah, he really only does it when he panics. Like if people he cares about, you know, because there's certainly opportunities, for instance, in this episode where it was like, force those suckers away, force them away. I was like waiting. Because they even teased it in the recap.
Yeah.
They even teased him doing it. And so I was like, hey, he gonna force the spiders. He gonna force the spiders. And he
the
spiders.
Oh,
those were
No. Go ahead, Chris.
As creepy as those spiders were, I was thrilled to see them, and here's why. In the Star Wars Rebels cartoons is where they made their first appearance. So this isn't the first time in the Star Wars universe that these giant freaky spiders have been seen. So
did they explain why some of them are huge? Well, I guess that would be the mom. And there's a whole bunch of mid-sized ones.
Those are the teenagers.
Basically.
So they all stay in the same hive?
Yeah, in Star Wars Rebels, not to get too off track of the Mandalorian, they actually, the two Jedi characters in Rebels actually do like a cool force bond thing with the spiders. So yeah, it was nice to see them more like gruesome and
like
terrifying.
I should say this going forward, there really isn't anything to spoil on this, but we don't we're not concerned with spoilers or not, so we will say whatever we saw on the TV.
Whenever it pops in.
So if you haven't watched Mandalorian and you want to watch it, or if you just like our recaps, one or the other, just skip ahead and we'll be here for you after you watch it, I promise.
When you're ready.
That's the beauty of YouTube and Facebook and everything else. Okay. There was a lot of moral ambiguity in this. There is questions of, you know, the good and evil of the Rebel Alliance or the New Galactic Empire, I guess they would be. There is questions on the mechanic. There is questions on Baby Yoda himself. And then there is the internet question going on right now, you know, do you eat that with a potato salad and eat those eggs? We want to hit that one first because that seems to be the most controversial thing.
Admit, it looks like for the size of that child's mouth, that those eggs are probably incredibly satisfying to eat.
Fair enough. Okay, but it does, this leads to the question, you see Baby Yoda, I know he's the child, we're going to call him Baby Yoda. You see Baby Yoda eating the eggs, and then he gets yelled at, and he looks guilty because he knows it was wrong. Here's the deal, then he goes back and does it again, and he does it again. So there is a question of either he doesn't understand right or wrong, or maybe Baby Yoda is got a little bit more of the dark side than anybody would have thought. I think there is definitely a touch of that we can definitely, I think we've seen the door open and now Blythe will like him because he's evil. But I don't know who, I don't know if anybody's on this boat with me.
I mean, I'm
you don't want to admit
I think his species is sort of, hasn't there been conjecture that the species is sort of pure force?
There has been, but I don't think
I don't know if that's necessary, but I mean, he's so tapped into it. And remember, the force has both sides.
True.
So perhaps as a baby, his allegiance is not yet. Maybe one of the reasons it takes so long for them to develop is because they're spending that time to,
to balance good and evil.
Their mind. Well, to figure out what side of the force that they're going to embrace. And quite frankly, as a concerned mother, I'm not a mother, but as a concerned mother. I play one on TV.
You have? Oh my gosh.
I have.
Okay, sorry.
as a non-mother who has played one on TV, I do worry about all the violence that young one is being exposed to. And they do make it a point every time some kind of major act of violence takes place in front of him. They always cut back to his face watching it.
Mm-hmm.
They always cut back to his face watching it. And yet he did have that moment in the chapter 9, when he closed his little thing and he was like, I don't want to see this. So, you know, it could be a matter of nature or nurture. Maybe that's the point they're going to make.
I'll go to everybody else in one sec, but I got to respond to that one thing. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily think that he hides himself out of moral ambiguity. I think he hides himself out of self-preservation.
Probably. I just decided to go deeper with that than was necessary.
It was good. Chris, where are you at on this?
I don't think he's inherently evil. I think because he is still technically a child.
A 50-year-old, yeah.
A 50-year-old child.
I know some of those.
Oh, so do I. You and I actually work with a couple.
Yes, we do.
We love everyone at Phantom.
Yes, we love you.
And anyway, I think because he's a 50-year-old child and he ages a lot slower than the rest of the universe, he's kind of testing out his powers, and he's kind of like, oh, it's an egg. I like it. You tell me no, I'm going to do it anyway. It's like, I think Christina, while we were doing the pre-show chat, was like, she said, she's like, he's in the terrible twos.
Yep.
Yeah.
But if there was one thing about Baby Yoda I loved about this episode, was you just saw his curiosity. It's like, and amazement and wonder,
yeah,
throughout the whole episode. I thought that was a really nice touch.
It was a very nice touch. Christina, where do you sit on this boat?
Okay, so I was far more disturbed when he ate the spider egg.
I
had no problem moral. I mean, I even rewinded it back and watched it when he actually ate the egg and he got in trouble, because I laughed four times.
Four times he does it.
Four times. And especially at the end when he's like, ha ha, ha ha.
Well, let me jump in on that for one sec. My favorite part of that is that fourth egg, he looks at the, this is why I think that Baby Yoda's evil. He looks at the frog lady and she does this big hug with the eggs and these are actually my children, yada, yada, yada. And you see this huge amount of empathy that slides over the child's face, and then he looks and pops the sucker back in his mouth and eats another one.
Well, unless he hasn't made empathized? That connection yet.
No, from that moment, I would say he definitely made that empathetic connection.
I didn't feel like he was empathizing with her as a mother. I think he was empathizing with her as like just liking her. I don't know if he has no mother? Made the connection.
Or yeah, he was maybe contemplating if little she Freud was a stuff? Snack.
Yeah. Or is she a vending machine? Do more of those come out of there? I mean, you know.
Well, here's a really weird example. My in-laws, they raise beef. And my 10-year-old niece, she's 14 now, but they name them.
Don't name your cow.
And she'll tell you, like, if we buy it, I can't talk to her after we buy it, because she'll be like, oh, that was this one, and they like to do this and this and this. And because it's very matter of fact for them, it's no problem.
Yeah.
But for me, I'm slightly horrified. And I was like, I'm never going to eat this cow if you tell me anything else about it. Like, we need to stop right now because I like beef. So, yeah. It's just that matter of factness, I think. It's like, okay, I'm sad, or I feel bad for you, but this is still who I am. I mean, we eat chicken eggs.
You're kind of changing my mind right now a little bit on that. Because if it is just a matter of fact, this is survival. But I really don't think that's the point they were trying to tell in the story.
Or maybe it's just that whole child oral fixation thing. Like, kids have got to put, stuff in their mouths. You just can't. Stop it.
I mean, he did.
Go to adults. I'm just saying.
I was at Disney World once and turned around, and there was a little girl with her mouth around the handrail in the waiting line and like just licking it and licking it and licking it. And honestly, I had to watch her for a few seconds because it was so entertaining before I finally like grabbed her mom and was like, do you mind? Tell her to stop doing. So it's like there's this oral fixation thing too.
Well, that's nature. That's how you survive in nature. So you have to. It is your evolutionary curse. You will have an oral fixation. You need to.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, maybe he would die as a baby.
Maybe Baby Yoda wasn't breastfed as a child, and this was the surrogate.
Well, they made it, doggone it, they made him stop at 49. You know. Oh, the horrible, horrible things.
I think we're going to hell after this episode, but go ahead. Go on.
Dun, dun, dun.
Well, just because we're talking about the Mandalorian will do it anyway.
Yeah, okay, that's true.
So let's talk about some of the other, quote unquote, moral ambiguity. Let's talk one of my favorite characters, which is the Amy Sedaris character, who is the mechanic. I think she's definitely either she's survived on some of the worst conditions in the world with some of the worst scum and villainy in the world and still trust people, or she's like, screw it, I can get a benefit out of this, even though I love this child and Mando's my friend. Screw you. I know I've known her for a minute. I think you're fine.
Unless she's familiar with the species.
She didn't seem like she was, though.
She
spoke the language.
Yeah. She's very skill. She seems to have a lot of skills that she's not letting on.
Yeah. You're going to learn a lot about her later, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something's up.
She's pretty diverse, it feels like, to me. And you would almost have to be with the position that she holds now.
Yeah. So basically the vote we're saying right now is she's okay. We're not, there's no moral ambiguity there. Yeah.
As of right now, no.
As of this moment.
I mean, there might be a little in the sense of, I think she's now, I mean, we've talked about this. She's not my favorite character. I'd love to love her more, and I understand her purpose and I enjoy that.
Yeah.
But it's, she's a survivor.
Yeah.
You know, and I think deep down she probably does have a very strong moral compass, but at the same time she'll do what she has to do to survive.
Yeah, she's definitely very opportunistic as she deems needed.
Well, if you live on Tatooine, I think you have to.
Yeah.
Because I mean, scum and villainy, blah blah. You know, I mean, it's kind of known for it. Remember, you know, Han shot first.
And they, I did enjoy that they went into the original cantina.
I know.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
That was the Boba Fett moment of this show for me. I'm like,
yes.
I'm looking for the blood stain.
And then correct me if I'm wrong, because you guys, I didn't look this up. The bartender droid, what didn't he work on Jabba's cruiser?
It's a similar one. I don't know if it's the same one, but it would be the same model.
It was Bespin. Droid was in the Bespin thing in the
hovercraft thing. Yeah.
Where C-3PO kind of gets torn apart.
Yeah. Oh, that, okay. Before they went to the Okay, got you. I was like, I recognize that droid.
And again, this is part of the fun part of the show is you don't have to be so immersed in the Star Wars universe that you know everything, but you can see stuff. You're like, I recognize that. And there's just something cool about that that makes you connect with the show more.
Well, it's like what we talked about last time. It makes that world seem even realer.
Yeah.
And truer.
It's very cool.
Go ahead.
Let's discuss the rebels, and what are they called now? Are they the Galactic? Are they the New Galactic Empire? Are they
the New Republic?
And yep.
Okay. You know they were, first off, they were lazy at their job when they were getting ready to pull them over. No. Well, you know, we'll just stop you. No, go. You know, the other guy had to call him in. No, you need to go check this guy out. And then they check him out. He's a bad guy. Whatever that means in this universe. So they're a bit lazy, which I have issue with. And then by the end, spoilers, they let him go, even though he's a known wanted felon because he did a couple of good things. So, you know, is this the, you know, if you do more good than bad, you can get away with it now in this universe? Or are they just not doing their job because they don't want the paperwork?
I have opinions, but somebody else talk first.
I love that you said paperwork.
I'm going to get real nerdy on here because it's only this whole series takes place 5 years after Return of the Jedi. There's a lot of ambiguity in the New Republic in terms of like who's actually in charge. Mm-hmm. So I guess it was a little bit laziness that they didn't want to do the paperwork initially.
And that's honestly one of my biggest pet peeves with, you know, law enforcement, security, all that. Do the paperwork, and that's your job. You know, as a guy that does security, I mean, yeah, do your job, because that's just like, I've seen people let go that shouldn't have gotten let go because they didn't want to do their job. And that's something that just, on a personal level, is very morally irritating to me.
Mm-hmm. And is helpful in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was I the whole X-Wing sequence was the best part of the episode.
Oh, by far.
When they first showed up, I was like, oh my God. Oh my God.
I was hoping to see Porkins or
Well, actually,
or Wedge.
The outset, because the guy from Kim's Convenience played the guy who played the dad in Kim's Convenience played one of the X-Wing pilots. I literally stopped for a second and went, am I recognizing him from the Star Wars universe? Because I know his face.
Yeah.
I did the same thing. I had to bring him up real quick.
Yes. Yes. But as far as like, you know, lazy, not lazy, I think they were being so human. They were just being so darn human.
And you can't be.
Well, I mean, the fact of the matter is, a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, people are still people.
True.
You know? And yeah. I actually, the part that actually bothered me, morally speaking, was not that when they let him go because they saw all of the other good that he did, including turn in the people that were with him on the heist or the breakout.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, okay, so that moral compass that has more to do with what is right versus what is on paper.
Yeah.
I was okay with that. It was when they were like, great, no, we're not going to help you. See ya.
Yeah, that was pretty jacked up.
He could have been irreparable, you know?
Yeah.
They could have been leaving him to die.
But then again, then it goes back to the paperwork. If they would have helped him out and then he would have done something else that's wrong, then they're morally.
Yeah.
And then there would have been more paperwork. So,
and there's more freaking paperwork.
And I think when you look at the fact that it's just 5 years after.
Yeah.
And a lot of people idolized Han Solo, who was bad, mm-hmm. who was a smuggler, who did a lot of bad things. I think there's this, you know, this neutrality that allows people to have a little bit of leeway. And it's not like, you know, the military, the, you know, United States military that's been there for years and years and years, they're still learning things. Mm-hmm. They may not even have a set process or paperwork yet.
True. Yeah. No, I've been in situations that I needed to deal with something, but there was no precedent for doing it. And it's tough when you're in that position and that you're kind of changing my mind again. You guys need to stop changing my mind.
Stop changing your mind. Yeah. You know, it's that whole concept of promote up rather than let go. Make it somebody else's problem. And I think that's a little bit what they did, but yeah. I feel like they had good reasons for it.
Yeah.
That's a great way of putting it.
Okay, let's talk about what I think has been the laziest piece of writing since they have started this show. I have loved every episode of this show, bar none, and I really mostly liked this episode a lot. I hated the Frog Lady. I thought it was lazy writing. I don't like the fact that they called her Frog Lady.
That irritated me. What? That really irritated me.
Yeah, and there's people that can speak her frog language. But the galactic trans, give me my word here.
The robot
translator. The translator.
Yeah.
That can't speak this language, but there are literally millions of people, obviously, that can speak this language. I mean, come on. This is very, very lazy writing.
She was the last, her kids were going to be the last of her line.
Of her line, but that doesn't mean, I think there's probably millions of others.
Okay.
But this would be the same as, well, you know, I want my kids to have sons so they have my last name too, because they're in my line.
Okay, that's valid. Although, go ahead.
I was going to say, based on that theory, we can't get upset about the egg eating. Because it's not like the last of the species. It's just the last of hers.
See, I was under the impression that it was the last of her line and also that the species was not in such good shape because that's one of the reasons her husband had already settled on another planet.
Mm-hmm. And there's only one planet that can sustain them.
Yep, yep.
I feel like if they were going to be facing like total extinction that they wouldn't be getting on a ship with the Mandalorian. Like they'd be somewhere safer than Tatooine.
Well, I mean, the other question on that, you know, and we jumped on Baby Yoda about, you know, eating the eggs and all that. She really didn't seem to care much. She went wandering off, dropped the eggs in some water.
She was trying to warm them up.
Which again, all well and good, but you're sitting here, Mando's, we gotta go. And she's just kind of slowly just doing whatever while he's picking all the eggs up. She's a little bit more, either she doesn't care, maybe there is no...
I think it was a translation thing, because if I was hanging out in a jacuzzi and somebody who didn't speak my language came over and was like, blah, 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 and I'd be like, dude, I'm coming. I will get to you. Like, it's possible she just didn't because A, not the same language. B, you can't see his face. So you cannot see expression of,
caring, concern. Empathy.
Concern, thank you. Or panic.
You know, maybe Mama was tired and she just wanted to kick back, relax
in the coos.
Yeah.
She just wanted to have a little glass of rosé, have some me time.
A little spa day.
Do her toes.
Of a giant spider pit.
Gosh. You know what? Something I did like a lot about her, though, is usually in alien, you know, whenever we put aliens out on TV, they're all bipedal, they're all humanoid, or they're totally CG and totally mm-hmm. strange.
Yeah.
And what I really liked about her is when it was time to run, they actually had
doing the frog. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, I liked that too. I thought that was a really nice touch.
Yeah.
Well, if that's where she, you know, evolved from, that would only make sense.
Right. But, you know, that goes back to like her almost lackadaisical attitude about the eggs in general. Like she didn't, once she was on the ship, like they were far enough away that Baby Yoda could help himself. But that even almost goes back to that species and that, you know, they'll lay frogs in general, they lay like a huge clutch of eggs and only a small amount survive. So it almost follows that DNA.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
I mean, we're going deep.
This is going way, like, now we're going to like science and stuff.
Frog psychology.
And did you know that a frog, when left alone long enough, will asexually reproduce? And no, actually, that's not true at all.
Some of them will change sex, though.
Well, I learned that from watching Jurassic Park.
Well, yeah. Hey,
true story.
Things we learn from being geeks.
Right.
So let's kind of get on to the internet. I never like to hear what the internet has to say because they're usually just vile. Not our listeners, of course, but the internet. And y'all know who I'm talking about if you're listening to this show. The internet. Those trolls. A lot of people did not like this episode at all. I say it's probably been my least favorite of the series, but I don't think it was bad. But like I said last week, some of these episodes feel like they're a side quest in a video game. This felt like the side quest. And the fact that they had a certain character not show up this week when everybody was expecting that character to show up, that didn't help. So I don't know. What did you guys think of the episode in general? Let's start with Chris.
Sorry. Oh, I was so excited. I had to get in there. This was a filler episode. You know, it wasn't my favorite either, but in terms of advancing the story,
did it
its job. It kind of, sort of. It's like, ooh, cool X-Wings. But that like,
was, yeah, there's cool moments.
X-Wings and the spiders. But like, after having such an awesome first episode to like get you back in, you know, as much as I want action, 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 sometimes you need to like have just like a filler. But exactly. I feel like they put the filler too soon, unless if Disney has some like grand plan for the rest of the series that's going to be amazing from here on out.
I'm really hoping that this episode is a exposition episode more than anything, that these characters are important and we'll see them why later. That's the only way that I'm going to look back at the end of the series and not think that I really didn't like this episode. Because my opinion will change if, you know, later on I watch it and you know, it, wow, they did a lot in this episode, even though I like, didn't like it at the moment. I'll change my mind on what I thought about it. Christina, what about you?
So I felt like the episode itself moved very fast without really getting anywhere. If that makes sense. Like, I didn't feel like 40 minutes when I was done, including the credits, but I really felt like it didn't really go anywhere.
Yeah.
And I really think that he did not need to eat the spider egg. I'm sorry. I actually had a nightmare about it last night. So gross.
That gave him a little bit more grace on my part that, yes, he's eating eggs, but he loves eggs and he's going to eat a spider egg if it's an egg, you know. So that helped.
I'm sitting there going, take that out of your mouth. What is wrong with you? And my husband, Sean's just looking at me like, babe, it's not real.
So tell me.
I'm going to break from the pack. I loved this episode. I thought it was so much fun.
I want to hear this. Why?
I just thought it was a romp. I mean, I don't need it. I think the feel of the show like this is that he's got his mission, which is to return this child. He's been imparted with this mission, and they spent the entire first season getting the mission. And so now we're in the journey. And so we're going to see all the things that happened during that journey. Mm-hmm. So I think the show is set up to just be sort of like this huge arc. And we're just seeing those little slices of that arc as he goes. So for me, maybe it kind of harkens back to the shows from like the 90s, where each show really was just a little standalone. Like a little piece of what their journey is. And then every once in a while you have some episode that really pushes that forward. And then you go back to that sort of steady journey.
Yeah.
And that's sort of how I've taken the show from the beginning. Once I got a feel for it, I wasn't sure at first. And then once I got a feel for it, I was like, oh, okay. And then I was like, I'm just going to settle in. And honestly, I spent so much of this episode like biting my nails. I forget the name of his craft, but when it first like sort of crash lands and you're like, okay, we're going to see if it works. And he gets out of that. And then the floor.
Yes.
Out.
Yeah.
I was like, ah, and then of course, going back to the Spideys. Yes. So, I mean, I just saw it like a roller, I got what I wanted. I got on that 30-second, you know, 40-minute roller coaster ride and was like, adrenaline. I'm going to just have fun.
Was anybody else looking for the abominable snowman monster? Yes. I thought I was the only one. I didn't know. So, last question, and then we'll kind of close up. But if they would have had Boba show up, even for a second in this episode somehow, do you think the reception of this whole episode would have been different?
I don't know how it would have fit. Maybe if they had done something at the beginning.
Yeah.
But the fact that they took it out of the desert and into the ice, I don't know. Like, I'm not quite sure where they would have done it. And I do like that I am, you know, like I said, it felt like it moved really fast, but not going anywhere really quickly. I am definitely concerned. Is she going to get to Frog Guy? Cause you know, it's Frog Lady. So Frog Man. And I am like, so what's going to happen next?
Yeah.
But I don't know that, I think it's too soon to show him again.
I think it is, but I think that the internet wanted it more than, or the fans wanted it a lot. Chris, what about you?
I think it was a smart move that, they teased assuming Boba Fett, if they showed him now, as much as it would have been exciting and awesome to see him, I think it would have taken away from the rest of the series and the rest of the stories going forward. So I think it was a smart move that they took us in another direction.
But do you think that the fans would have been more excited about the episode? I know smarter move not to, because you know, being too much Baby Yoda, you don't want to see too much of anything. He's it, but.
I don't know. I think
because that's what everybody wanted on this episode. It seemed like
I mean, I wanted it too. I wanted to be like, because you can't tease Boba Fett and then like cut away on a cliffhanger.
Yeah.
You know, your natural reaction is, oh, they're going to get to that next week. And then they didn't. So I was a little disappointed. And I think that's why the internet's disappointed.
On everything?
Yeah.
Because they do that?
Yeah, but I don't know. I try not to like go on the internet because it's, you know, the internet. But again, I will say that I think it was a smart move that they didn't show Boba Fett this episode.
So tell me, what about you?
I think culturally we have lost the art of the pleasure in anticipation.
Yes.
Of the tease.
Yep, of the tease. And I think it was brilliant. I think it was a brilliant move, not mm-hmm. you know, just to tease him here and there. Would the fans have been happier about it? I think in the short term,
mm-hmm.
but in the long term, it's like that instant gratification thing. You get it, and then you're on to the next toy. Versus, I really want it. I'm not getting it. I really want it. I'm not getting it. I really want it. Okay, here it is, and it's like, oh yeah. So I mm-hmm. think. Long game, it's a better decision, and the people complaining about it just need to practice the art of the enjoyment of anticipation. Enjoy very the good. Tease.
Well, you know, and I want to put this into another geek, you know, geek world, which is Inspector Gadget. We watched the cartoon. Stay with me for a second here. We watched the cartoon for, I think it was like on for 5 years, 6 years. They never once showed Dr. Claw's face. And you wanted to see it so bad. You wanted to see it. You watch every episode waiting to see it. They never did show it to you. But now then they make the movie. And what do they do within the first 20 seconds? They show Dr. Claw's face. And then no one had any interest in the movie after that.
Yep.
It's the same thing as Mr. Snuffleupagus.
Yes.
On Sesame Street.
Yeah. That's a good one.
No one, the only people who could see him was Big Bird and us. Mm-hmm. And there was a specialness about it. And then you could see him. And suddenly Mr. Snuffleupagus just wasn't that dang special anymore.
And nobody cared anymore.
And nobody cared anymore.
Wow.
He literally just gave me chills. Like, you were so episode. Passionate in that moment. I love it.
I remember when I found out that they could see them, I was like, what? What? I worst move ever.
This is the crossover episode to end all crossover episodes.
Yes.
Amazing.
Mandalorian and Sesame Street.
I expect everyone next week to have some kind of really cool crossover with whatever the Mandalorian is. But put that in your mind. I want to hear one. That's the first thing I'm going to ask you guys. What's our interesting crossover today?
Yeah, last week Satomi gave us the Kung Fu crossover.
Yep.
I did. Yeah,
you did.
I'm the crossover queen, y'all.
Outstanding.
Bow down.
So last question I always ask on these, grade it A plus to F. Let's start with Christina. What do you give this one?
I'm going to give it an A. I actually, wow. Because I know I said it felt like it didn't move the story, but it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. And I, you know, still that freaking adorable moment at the very end.
Oh.
I rewind. I kept rewatching it. And I want like a little gif of it or post it to Blythe.
You can meme it and say me at 3 a.m. when no one's looking.
Right? Oh, right.
That's nice.
But it was so much fun. It really was. And I, you know, I mean, it's The Mandalorian is part spaghetti western, part creature feature. And they really brought the creature feature with the spiders.
Yeah.
It was genius. It was brilliant. And in addition to that, you know, the end credits where they have the beautiful artwork. I really love the spiders in that as well.
I want those for my wall, those yes. artworks. Oh.
Yeah, they're gorgeous. And so for me, it was just definitely an A. We really enjoyed it. And it was a lot of fun.
Chris?
I hope this is the lowest grade I ever give on this series, but I'd give it a B+. B+ because it was a filler episode in terms yeah. of exposition. What gave it that plus was the X-Wing sequence, the spider sequence, and the fact that Baby Yoda was just adorable and amazing.
Hey, Blythe, this is why they have Baby Yoda on this show.
Yes, it's why I buy the merch.
Exactly.
Why I buy the merch. For the people who are just listening to this, I have in my hand a Mandalorian with the child on his jetpack. Funko Pop. Yeah. But yeah, don't sue me, Funko, for other things. But yeah, B plus, and I'm excited to see what they do next week.
So tell me.
Well, before we get to me, Chris, real quick, because you know more about this than I do, you have to talk about the Dave Filoni.
Thing. The other X-Wing pilot was Dave Filoni, the creator of Star Wars Rebels and one of the executive producers of The Mandalorian. And apparently George Lucas considers him to be the son he never had, because Dave Filoni, like, and George Lucas, just when they met, they had this like bond about Star Wars. And George Lucas has gone on record saying that Dave Filoni's vision that he saw in Star Wars Rebels and now subsequently The Mandalorian is what Star Wars is supposed to be.
Yeah. So wow. That's pretty cool, actually.
So they're like that moment where Baby Yoda runs to the Mandalorian. That's all I see.
Oh yeah. Oh, that was so cute.
Oh, that was so good. Oh. So anyhow, I give it an A. I give it an A. I very much like, I agree completely with Christina. It for me, it fit where it's supposed to fit. Not giving it the plus is that there were a couple moments that were just kind of like, okay, but there were so many wonderful things about it, and the tension, the stress was real, y'all. I was super stressed, and I had to hug my pillow. And I just thought it was a romp, and I was real happy with it.
Outstanding. Now, I have actually changed my mind on my grade since we first started. I was going to give it a solid B-. However, there was a scene that I forgot about. And this scene was so good. And we didn't mention it even once. When he got booby-trapped by the Raiders, and the bike blows up. And then they steal the jetpack.
Yes.
And then he sends them flying into space and then drops him. And I'm like, that was honestly the best scene of the movie or the show, and I can't believe that I forgot it. So I gave it a B instead of a B-. Now, remember, when I grade these, I'm not grading it against any other show. I'm grading against The Mandalorian. All these shows are so perfectly done. If you don't reach that level of perfection, you're not going to get an A. I mean, it may be better than 90% of what's out there, but I've got to grade it against what I've seen as The Mandalorian. So I give it a B. But yeah, that's I can't believe we missed that one.
Was that a Jawa without his cloak? What critter was he?
I don't know what it was.
Okay. Because I was like, maybe it wasn't. He spoke a language I've heard before in Star Wars World.
I think it was one of the things in one of the very first scenes of The Force Awakens where Rey's at the scavenger place.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I can see that.
Thank you.
Okay.
I think that if they tie it in, you have to come back and regrade it.
I'm with Christina there.
Well, I'm sure at the last episode of the season, we will go through and grade everything again. So it can all be forgiven, or this can suddenly be turned into an F- sharp. So Tomi, tell us about our favorite charity and we'll get out of here.
BroadwayHearts.org, y'all. We go to now virtually children's hospitals and help out those kids and parents with music and sing-alongs, and then we help them out once they leave. It's a wonderful charity. You can check us out. And if you have any children's hospitals in your areas, please do reach out to us and let us know if you'd like us to become part of their programs.
Very good. Thank you very much for everybody for showing up on this. We did a lot of people listen to our last episode. I'm hoping a lot of people are listening on this episode. Hope you're enjoying what we're doing. Until next time, I am Dub, and I'm here with Christina and Chris and Satomi. Keep on geeking on. You guys are awesome, and this is The Way.
Hello, our geek rock stars. I'm Satomi Hoffman with iHeartGeek, and we heart you. And I'm going to tell you about a way that you can heart us back. So here's the deal. iHeartGeek has just launched our Patreon page. This is a chance for you to help us with production costs and help us keep bringing these podcasts to you. Not a lot of people know it. We don't make any money making this podcast, but we do it because we heart geek. We heart bringing it to you, and we heart obsessing over the things that you heart. So how do you become involved? Super simple. There are four tiers of support. The first tier of support is only $3 a month, about the price of a cup of coffee if you don't go to Starbucks. And we will love you like we love Baby Yoda, except for Blythe, who doesn't feel the Baby Yoda love, which... So now tier two is $5 a month, which now we're talking like a drip coffee and a cookie. And for that, we'll display your name during the show and also put you in the end credits. Name recognition, y'all. Now tier three, $10 a month. Now we're getting into the nitty gritty. We will actually take your suggestions and we will put them in the rotation of the show. So whatever you obsess about, which we already probably obsess about, we will obsess about on air. All right, now we're talking tier four. We're talking the Triforce Excalibur Infinity Gauntlet level of subscription. $20 a month will get you as a regular rotational cast member on the show. We'll have you come on. We'll discuss the things that you heart, the things that we heart. We'll argue, we'll laugh, we'll have a great time, and you will have made iHeartGeek better for your subscription. And of course, you can tell all your friends, hey, ha ha, I'm on a podcast. So there you have it. Four easy ways to help iHeartGeek become a listener-supported podcast, and you get something in return. We heart you. We thank you. We heart geek. And remember to keep on geeking on.
You have been listening to the latest episode of the iHeartGeek Show. Make sure you visit our website at www.iheartgeekshow.com. Make sure to follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And if you check us out on YouTube, make sure to like, comment, and subscribe. And keep on geeking on to all of you geek rock stars.